Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you this morning. We exalt your holy name. We give you glory. Great is our God, and greatly to be praised. Oh, great is our God, and greatly to be praised. Great is our God. Oh, we worship you, we worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Show me your ways. Do we believe the Lord has heard our prayer and is showing us more of His ways? Is there more to learn? Oh, we believe we receive. Yes, we do. So say it again. Oh,
show me your ways.
Thank you, Lord.
That I may walk.
For showing us your ways,
that I may walk
with you. Show me your
way.
Oh, more and more of your ways. Yes, I do. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers already, showing us more of yourself and your ways. Thank you. Thank you for meeting us in these services. Thank you for utterance. Thank you. We pray for Sister Billy and the anointing that you'd use her in, and for utterance and what would come next. Tonight in the following services, we thank you, Lord, that you take us from grace to grace and faith to faith and glory to glory. We look to you this morning and we thank you for adding to us more of knowledge and understanding of your ways. We do reach out and draw near to you, and we thank you for drawing near to us. We love you above all. We reverence you above all, above everything. Thank you. We worship you. Everybody say it out loud. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, and I love my neighbor. With the love of God. Hallelujah. Well, turn and smile at somebody in love. Let them see they're around friendly people, saved people. You can be seated when you do. Glory to God. How blessed are we? Tell my church all the time, we're so blessed. The blessed people call us blessed. We are. And you'll find it that the more you say, Lord, you are so good to me. Oh, God, you just are so good to me. He'll just do more and more and more. Right? Well, you think about what are you saying? Lord, you are so good to me. And you believe it in your heart. And you say it with your mouth, right? Well, you're cooperating with him. But what if you say, nothing good ever happens to me. I just don't understand it. I confess and confess and confess, and nothing ever happens. Well, you're making a confession right now. And you're getting exactly what you're saying. Now, it works. Positively or negatively, but it works. So you might as well be saying something good. Right? Glory to God. Say it out loud. Things are just getting better and better. God is so good to me. Oh, He's so good to me. He's so good to me. So good to me. It just keeps getting better and better and better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord gave me something years ago. I wrote it down. Doubt despairs, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. And I don't care if you did make several confessions, if you're depressed and you're down and you're sad, you're not in faith. Because if you really believed God had heard your prayer and granted you your request and that you're expecting wonderful things to happen, it doesn't make you sad. It doesn't depress you. You're depressed because you think it's going to stay the same or get worse. But not you. I'm looking at faith people this morning. Now, right? So you are expecting every good thing in your life to just increase and get better and stronger, right? The devil's defeated. He's under your feet. He always causes us to triumph. Every time. Every time. I got a little, I don't know what you call it. Looks like a little picture frame thing about the big. It sits on my desk. It's been there for years and years and years. I change desks, but I don't lose that. Put it back on there. It just says always exclamation point. So what does that mean? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. That means when? Always. How many times?
Always.
When? Always. And I have whipped the devil again and again with that word. Because you know what one of his words is? Not this time. You ever heard that? Oh, man. I don't care how many times God moves for you, something else comes up, and the enemy will come and sit on your shoulder, and what will he tell you? Not, it ain't going to work this time. And not this time. Reminds me of that poem by Edgar Allan Poe. Well, thus quoth the raven. What'd the raven say? Nevermore. Nevermore. Mr. Poe had devils in his house. Nevermore. Never. That's just like the devil. Bible, what does the Holy Ghost say? There's another bird. There's the heavenly dove. And what does he say? Always. 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 So when the devil come and said, ah, not this time. Now, the money came in last time, but it ain't coming in this time. You going down this time. It just ain't coming. It's not going to happen. You say, no, no. He always causes me to triumph, and always means always. Means this time. He's the same God now as he was then. His word's the same, and I'm going to believe him the same. Right? I don't care if the Lord's healed you 1,000 times. Here come some symptoms. What will the devil say? Not this time. Nevermore. Now you're not going to get it. You're not this time. Now, well, why not this time? Is God the same or not? Has he changed? Why not? Is this too hard for him? Too big for him this time? No. No. So what do you say?
Always.
Always means always. Means every time. Right? Means this time. This time. And then tomorrow or next week, if it's something bigger than I ever had to deal with, I win that one too. Because always is always. And if 5 years from now, it's something bigger than I ever dreamed of having to deal with, I win that too. Because always is always is always. 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 I think the devil flinches when I say it. Oh, I think he goes, oh, oh. Always. Everybody say it, always.
Always.
Always. Always what? When? Triumph. Always triumph. Every time. Well, I wanted you to hear that this morning. Psalm 103. He always causes us to triumph. Always. Somebody got it. Always. Psalm 103. Anybody know what we're talking about in these sessions? 103:7. He, talking about the Lord, made known his ways unto Moses, his acts, or other translations say his deeds or his doings, unto the children of Israel. The people of Israel in general, they knew what he did. They saw it. But they didn't understand him. In fact, just turn that over to Hebrews. Let's look at it again. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, talking about this situation. He said in verse 10, Hebrews 3:10, he said, I was grieved with that generation. This is the one that saw and knew his deeds and acts. But they didn't understand his ways. He said, they do always err in their heart. This is Hebrews 3:10. They do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. Another translation says they're always looking the wrong direction. They're looking another way. You know, you got your ways and you got his ways. And there's a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is failure and destruction. But the ways of the Lord are right. And the ways of the Lord work. Right? If it's not working, you're not doing it his way. And you don't want to be hard-headed. And just mean that you're going to do it your way. Now, there is a problem of people not doing things God's ways because of ignorance. There's quite a bit of that. But then there's a whole lot of this. People see and hear and know his way. Do it that way. They want to do it their way. What is that called? That's rebellion. Isn't it? And it's pride and it's ignorance trying to get God to adapt to you. Well, Lord, I want you to do it this way. I want you to use them. And I want you to bring it through this channel. And I want you to do it by this time. You got to watch about setting time frames. I believe I receive by. Or I'm believing that you're going to deal with them. Watch out. I believe you're going to use them to do this. No, you don't have a right to tell him how to do it. He knows how to do it. You got a right to believe for the healing. You got a right to believe for the money to come. You got a right to believe, but not tell him how. And not tell him the way. How many remember Naaman the leper? Remember him? He had challenges about God's way, didn't he? He wanted to be healed. Everybody was clear on the end objective. But you remember when he pulled up to the prophet's house? And he is an important man in his nation. I mean, he's, what would he be? Number 3 or 4 in the nation, probably. I mean, God's given his nation victories through him. He's a celebrity in his country. Everybody knows him. He's a big man. But he's a leper. And so he comes with his chariots with great pomp and circumstance. They roll up. And they have fine chariots and horses and everything. And the man of God doesn't even come out to see him personally. He sends his messenger. Well, they already don't like this. They're like, don't they know who he is? Don't they know who I am? And the servant comes out and says, well, he told me to come tell you that if you'd go dip in the river 7 times, you'd come clean. Okay. He goes, what, is that it? Yep, that's it. You want me to repeat it? He told me to come tell you. Do you know who I am? No. All I know is he told me to come tell you to go dip in that river. You mean that muddy river here? Yep. That's it. Boy, it made him mad. You might remember that? Remember reading it? The Bible said he was wroth. What does that mean? He is hot. He steamed. Huh? He thought, I came all this distance. This man don't know who I am. You can see one reason why the Lord did it that way. Right? Because he don't know who he is. He don't know who this man of God is. And he don't know who God is. And so they peel out of there and leave rubber in the driveway. Or paw marks. And they're ripping down the road, and he's sitting in the back, and he's just steaming. He thought, man, surely I thought the man of God would come out there and he would wave his hand over the place and he would call on the name of his God and recover me. See, he had it all figured out his way. Are y'all with me now? His way. How he thought it was supposed to go. You know, does that happen today? Huh? Do people get into that today? They sit and they think up how all this is supposed to happen. Well, I think, you know, they'll notice me in the crowd and call me out and have a word for me and prophesy. And they got it all figured out how it's supposed to happen. Or my pastors will come see me and spend some time with me. I had a lady one time in healing school. Bless her heart. She came, and after the service she came and she pulled out a list like this. And it was all the stuff I was supposed to do for her to get her healed. I'm supposed to pray with her personally for like 2 hours a day and read the word to her. And I'm supposed to, I don't know what all I'm supposed to do for her. I mean, there's a list like this. I laughed. She said, what are you laughing about? I said, if I did that, I wouldn't have time to do all this other stuff I'm doing. Well, she wasn't impressed. She was getting huffy about it. She said, well, I come here to get help, and this is what I need. I said, well, if you know so much what you need, what are you doing here asking for help? So she had it figured out how it's supposed to be. I said, we can help you. But what you're going to need to do is sit down and be quiet and listen and pay attention and do what we tell you to do. Y'all got quiet. I'm talking about your ways, His ways. See, I believe the Lord led her to come there. She did need help. But the reason He led her to come there is because He's going to deal with us to help her and show her some ways to get help. Amen. But you got to turn loose of your ways. Because His ways are higher than your ways. Can you say amen? Amen. They're better. So they're ripping down the road. He's sitting in the back. He's fuming. I thought. I knew how it was supposed to go. He's going to come out. The man's going to come out. He's going to realize who I am. And he's going to pray a special prayer for me. And he's going to do a special thing with his hands. Special. Because I'm a special man. And I need a special ministry. Special ministry. You ever heard that? I've had people look at me after service and go, now, Brother Keith, all those things are fine and good, but you don't understand. My case is different. It's different. And I need some special things here to break this. No, devils will tell you that they're special. No, you got a special devil. He's specially mean and specially tough and specially hard, and it's going to take a special move of God by a special man of God. And people want to know, do you have it? What? You know it. Do you got the anointing it's going to take to get me free? Because I've been to the best. And they couldn't do it. Do you have it? Well, that's being, oh, what's the word? Can you help me out here? No, the Bible says there has no temptation, no trial or test taken you, but such as is common to man. You are not going through anything special. Other people, the Bible said, your brethren in James, your brethren throughout the world are experiencing the same kinds of things. No. It's a lie. And it is easy for God to set you free. Don't you let the devil tell you, oh, this is hard. This is hard. I like to think about how Jesus, ministered to the people, and some of them accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. And he said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. Glory to God. The Bible talks about the hand of God. The Bible talks about the arm of God. The Bible talks about the exceeding greatness of His power. And it is not exercise to get a devil out. All it takes to get the biggest, ugliest, hairiest devil out is the finger power of God. Do you believe it or not? Jesus said, shut up and come out. And the Holy Ghost went, boop. The devil ain't no dark equal opposite to God. Oh, no. He is a stripped brought to naught under our feet, fallen created being. He ain't what he used to be. And he ain't what he cracks himself up to be. His big deal is smoke and mirrors. Huh? It is. His big deal is hand figures on the wall. Wow. Wow. And you look behind the curtain and he's... How many remember the prophet said that in days to come, kings are going to look at him and go, "You? It was you that did all this?" Is he defeated or not?
Yes.
Has he been stripped?
Yes.
Has he been brought to naught? Naught means nothing. No, he has been stripped and reduced to nothing. He's operating through deception, isn't he? His biggest weapon and tool is deceiving people. And the sad thing is, it's working all too well. But anyway, Naaman's ripping down the road, fuming. Surely, I thought. And his aide, sitting in there, said, yes, sir, I know. Then he says, you know, we came prepared to do extravagant stuff. We brought all this money. We brought all these clothes. And we came, you know, we were ready to do hard things and big things. He says, go dip. You know, we're here. Why don't we just go dip? God's way. Huh? Somebody say God's way. God's way can seem strange to your mind. God's way can seem petty to your pitiful understanding of the situation. So you know how dignitaries can be sometimes. They drive along, chariot, no conversation. Then he says, you know, we came prepared to do big things. And we're already here. Why don't we just go dip? The aide says, excellent idea. Yes, sir, I think that's a good choice. And they went, and they dipped, and they did it God's way. And he came with flesh like a little child. Oh, if you just humble yourself and forget your plan and forget all the things you thought and you had dreamed up and your ways, and just do what he said. Do it his way. Do it his way. That's when you get results. When you're going month after month and year after year and it ain't working and it ain't working and it ain't working and it ain't working, get a clue. Right? You're trying to do stuff your way. And the Lord will let you. He'll let you. There's been times in my life, thank God not too many, but there's been a few times, especially in the early days, where I petitioned the Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this. And he wouldn't talk to me about it. I want to do this. I want to do this. Lord, I want to do this. He wouldn't talk to me about it. That should be an indicator. Right? He's not wanting to talk to you about it. Finally, I just kept pushing it. And he said, well, do what you want to do. I wasn't smart enough to realize that's not the response that you want. How many remember the Israelites pushed him about having a king? Remember that? And he told them it wasn't his will and it wasn't his plan. But what did he do in the end? Fine, you want a king? All right. And I did that a couple of times and didn't like the results at all. Finally, trying to recover from one of these situations of the Lord letting me do what I wanted to do. I said, Lord, I don't want you to let me do what I want to do anymore. I want to find out what you want. What is your way? It's a wisdom we should learn. When I first started working with Brother Hagin, who's in heaven now, and so much respect for him and still do, and the Lord allowed me to be with him in person. Sometimes every day, I started the service and we did some things. And so one of the first times I'm in there, I thought, wow, just me and the man of God in the room. It's my opportunity to ask my questions. Dumb. So I tried to ask a question, something I had on my mind, and something I tried to say and ask, and he went, That was it. I did that another time or two. Pretty much same response. And then I got a revelation. What are you laughing about? You ain't been no faster than me on this stuff. I got a revelation. Instead of trying to get him to talk about what I want to talk about, let me see if I can find out what he wants to talk about. Revelation. And sure enough, something came up, and I saw it was something he was interested in at the moment. So I asked about that, and he talked for 30 minutes. I thought, glory to God. This works. And I don't know how many times somebody would want to see him, sometimes fly from halfway across the planet to see him. And he didn't have much time. There were times I'd get up and start to leave when they came in. He said, no, you just stay. I'd sit down. And they would talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And while they're doing it, I'm thinking, you shouldn't be doing that. How do I know? They're thinking, you should be quiet. But they'd talk and talk and talk and tell him what they thought about this and what they thought about that and what they got in prayer about this and their experience about this. And I remember one time, he looked at his watch. He said, well, it was good to see you. I've got to go. And he did. He had a service. And he got up and left. And they looked at me like, and I'm thinking, don't look at me. You're the one talk for an hour. You know? People are so engrossed in what they think and in their ways. And they want to come across this way. And they want you know, they got it all in their mind. You're supposed to sit down with me and listen to me and do it this way. And I've got 5 questions and I want you to answer them in this order. Friend, the more you are that way, the less open to the Holy Spirit you are. You got your own agenda and your own plan, and you're going to miss out again and again and again. You got to be open. And you got to say, Lord, show me your way. Somebody said out loud, Lord, show me your way. I'm open to your way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you take some more? That was the introduction. Go please to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Don't let those things get by you we were just talking about now. And don't assume that you're not that way. Don't just hear that story and go, well, they shouldn't have been that way. Well, they're probably not even here. You're here. Yeah, I know. So-and-so's not here. They should be here and here. They need to hear this. Well, the Lord knows who's going to be here. You. Somebody say, this utterance is for me. Not everybody would even say that. Well, who is it for?
Me.
This is for you and this is for me. This is for us. Right? Let us be quick to hear. Right? Quick to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to get angry. 1 Corinthians, are you there? We talked about the Lord's ways, how that all his ways are righteous. All of them. We also talked about that his ways are ways of mercy. Mercy and graciousness. And we talked last night about how Jesus is the way. Are you excited about that at all? He is the way. He is your way to the Father. He is your access into the riches of God. Can you say amen? Amen. By Him and by your faith in Him, you can go in and get a load and come out and bless the world. Can you say amen? Amen. Then you can go back in and come back out and you can bless the world. I was seeing this morning in my spirit, and this, not technically, is not my message, but you know what's in you tends to come out. But I was seeing awake, and I thought about this scripture. Surely goodness and mercy will what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You ever seen a boat or a big one leaves a wake, doesn't it? And you can see the foam and you can see the white. Well, some people leave a wake of turmoil, don't they? Everywhere they go, hearts are broken, right? People are mad. People are upset. You need to look behind you once in a while.
That's right.
Huh? The Lord blessed us with a nice boat. It's a pretty big boat. And some friends of ours were out in the other day. And we were coming through, and we're out in the middle of the lake, you know, because I got enough sense to not kick up a big wake close to the shore. But we're out in the middle of a big lake, and man, I'm hammered down, you know. We're blasting. We're kicking out a big wake. And this little bitty boat's come, and they had to stop. And they're like, whoa, look at this big wake. So they're having to maneuver around it. And one of the guys, he's laughing. He said, look back, you know. And boy, these guys are scrambling, trying to get out of our way. Well, you don't want to leave a wake where everybody back behind you is going, oh, no, what happened? Keith came through. Or whatever your name is. Huh? Susie came through. Bob came through. You come through the office, everybody's crying and upset. What happened? Oh, Bob came through. Look behind you once in a while. Y'all with me this morning? Huh? Look behind you. What are you leaving a trail of? A trail of tears? Heartache? Huh? Strife? When you leave. One way you can tell what you've been leaving is by how people react when you come in. Huh? If they go, oh, he's here. Oh, brother. Because you've been leaving something not good behind you. But you and I are supposed to be leaving a trail of blessings. Oh, come on, can you say amen? Everywhere we go, we leave it better than we found it. Is that right? Everywhere we go, we're leaving a trail, we're leaving a wake of goodness and mercy and blessings. Hallelujah! You ought to be able to come through and everybody's shouting and everybody's happy. They go, what happened? Susie came through. Oh, yeah, you know when she comes in. She's always got the joy, always got the peace, always got a good word, and always handing out money. Huh? What happened? Bob came through, and he made their car payment and paid off their house. Oh, I lost somebody on that. They were like, yeah. Come on, don't...
Don't leave me now. Don't leave me now. Bob came through and bought everybody's lunch. Huh? And paid three people's electric bill and paid off Tina's car. Huh? What happened? Bob came through. Bob came in. Why? Because goodness and mercy. Oh, glory to God. That isn't that the Lord's way? When he comes through, he doesn't leave it worse than he found it. When the Lord comes through, when the Lord manifests, everything's better than before he came through. Glory to God. Stand up, stand up. Stand up and do this right here. Go, I'm leaving a trail of goodness and mercy. Blessings. Goodness. Follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm leaving a trail. I'm leaving a trail. Glory to God. You ever seen jets way up high? They leave a trail. Contrail. Condensation trail. And you can see them. Big white. I want you to see yourself leaving a glory trail. Right? Everywhere you go. Glory to God. When you leave, 2 days after you're gone, people still shouting. I don't have everybody with me on this. Well, I need somebody to minister to me. No, come on, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. And instead of always looking for something, somebody to help, oh, can you help me? Can you? Come on. You got the greater one inside you. Right? You can be a vessel for him to flow through to others. And you'll find when you start doing that, that's sowing. And when you're sowing, 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 you're going to get something going out on every wave. What's going to happen here later on? It's going to be coming back in. Right? You're going to always have more than enough. Do you leave a glory trail behind you? Blessing, goodness, and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that you must have some on you and in front of you if you're leaving a trail of it. That's what you're living in. Well, I'm having a time reading my text this morning, aren't I? Did you find 1 Corinthians? Glory trail. That'll preach, I think. Oh, bless you. Bless you, Lord. People should have a good taste in their mouth about you coming to see them. Right? Not, oh, no. Now, we don't like to think about it sometimes, but some folk do. I mean, when they see, and I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about people that's like you. Me. They see you coming, and they'll say to each other, oh, no. Here comes so-and-so. They'll never shut up. They're always preaching. And always telling me what I'm supposed to be doing. And always, well, something's not right when people are not glad to see you come. Hmm? Your heart might be right, but your way is your way. You're trying to do some stuff your way, and it's not leaving a glory trail. Hmm? You don't want people to go, man, I'm glad they're gone. Dear Lord, they never shut up. They just talk, talk, talk. And you got to realize who you're talking to. Hmm? I know. One reason, how do I know some of these things? When I was first year a Rhema student, I got invited to a Bible study, and it was a different denominational Bible study. I didn't even know really why I was there. But they went around one by one, and everybody gave their opinion about what they thought about some stuff. And it was weak and confusing. And I've been getting the word, man, boom, 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 classes every day and prayer school and healing school. And one of the big things that Brother Hagin's been drilling in us is the word, the word, the word. If it's not the word, forget it. It's the word, the word. Bring everything back to the word. Respect the word. And they're talking theory and opinions, and ain't nobody mentioned the scripture yet. Because I'm very aware of this because I'm getting so much input about this. And it is, that is right. But finally, after an hour and a half of this, they asked me, well, what do you think about that? I'm primed, man. I'm feeding on the word night and day. And I gave them about 9 scriptures, and I gave them the references and quoted them. And when I got through, they're looking at me like, I'm something strange. And I realized after the thing, they weren't blessed. Who said, well, you gave them a word, that's what counts. No, no, no. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. Not just speaking the truth in love. God is love. If you're going to do it the God way, it's going to be the love way. Can you say amen? Wisdom would have done it differently. Wisdom would have not quoted verses and references. Do you know you can say a Bible truth but not refer to a reference? Can't you? Because immediately now they're intimidated because they thought, man, I couldn't find a verse. He's quoting them, you know, and using references. And what does that mean? For every reference you can quote, there's 1,000. You got to take 2 concordances to look up, right? I mean, that was weak on that part. I assure you, there's a lot more in the Word than you see and know and can quote, right? I don't care who you are and how long you've been going. But love approaches in the way that makes it palatable for the individual, right? What does the proverb say? The sweetness of the lips increases learning. Did you hear that? Yes. What increases learning? Sweetness. The sweetness of the lips. What is that? That's your approach. You know, it's like being a fisher of men. Some people don't understand. I mean, fishermen know this. You don't just take your hook and your line and you go, bite it. I said bite. Don't bite. It don't work that way. You don't just slam it down and go, bite, bite. Right? A good fisherman, no, like a fly fisherman. Man, you have to lay it out there nice and let that fly light. And you have to wiggle it a little bit. Why? Because the fish has got to want this. Right? The fish has got to want this. It's got to be appealing to the fish. Well, there's wisdom in God, and His ways are ways of wisdom and graciousness and love and life. And He will show you how to approach where people think, that's refreshing. I thought they were preaching. I just expected to come and be preachy, 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 but they're nice. I like them. Right? And they're not so stuffy. And they're not so condemning. God will teach us how to do this if we're open to His ways. Somebody say His ways. His ways. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. What does it say?
1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent, what? What? A more excellent way. Listen to the NIV. He says, now I show you the most excellent way. And what does he begin talking about then? The love of God. The love of God. And he describes it. And he says, you can do all these things and you can have all this stuff, and if you don't do it in love, it's not worth anything. What is the most excellent way to do everything? To do anything. What's the most excellent way? To do it in love. Well, who is love? God is love. And if we're talking about doing it the way of God, God's way, and He is love, didn't you just get through saying doing it love's way? Right? So what would be the right way to deal with them? The love way. The love way. Now, when you say love, it's got so much worldly and religious connotation attached to it that we have to use our faith to strip it aside. People, you can see people's tone when you go, when you say love, and they go, oh yeah, love. And people don't know what they're even talking about. God is love. Love is not a feeling. Love's a person. And love's ways are all of God's ways. And it is the most excellent way to do anything. And everything is God's way, which is love's way. Learning Him is learning love. Learning His ways is learning love's ways. You'll find in love's way is the wisdom of God. When you endeavor to start, you know, you endeavor to do it in love, you immediately begin to tap into the wisdom of God, how to do it. When you endeavor to do it in love, you immediately tap into the flow of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Can y'all stay hooked with me just a few minutes longer here? Oh, this is important. I want to say those two statements again now. When you make an effort to do it in love, you tap into the wisdom of God of how to do it. When you make an effort to do it in love, you tap into the anointing and into the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. Let me prove it to you further. You're here in 1 Corinthians 12. Go to the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter, the first verse. What does it say? Hmm? 14:1, what does it say? Follow after charity, love. Follow after love and desire spirituals, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about them. He's been talking about them in chapter 12. And he talks about tongues and prophecy. But this starts off by talking about following love. Well, who is this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit of God, who is love, means the Holy Spirit of love. Right? I remember my Phyllis and I, first year or so in the ministry, we had an opportunity to be in a service. It was in somebody's home where this older man and woman were ministering. I'd never seen them, never met them. But they ministered powerfully. He ministered powerfully speaking the word, and she ministered by the gifts of the Spirit. I mean accurate and powerful things that you know in no way she could know. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and healing, and miracles. Impressed us both in our spirit. And she said something that just stuck with me to this day. She stopped and began to explain. She said, let me tell you how I do this. Because it was obvious it was supernatural. She said, I simply
follow love, and desire the gift of the Spirit. Somebody said out loud, follow love, and desire the gifts of the Spirit. Say that two more times. Follow love and desire the gifts of the Spirit. One more time. Follow love and desire the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't desire these precious things, the Lord won't give them to you. You have to respect them, and you have to want them, and you have to desire them. That's why some things don't happen in a lot of churches, because they don't desire them. Some folks don't even believe in them. Well, then they're not going to be happening. But what's the other part? Follow love. She said, I'll come in to a meeting. And she said, I'm desiring the manifestation of the Spirit. But I don't know. I don't know what the Lord wants to do. I don't know who He wants to minister to. I don't know anything about it. But I'll just get up by faith. And I'm looking across the crowd. And my heart will go out to somebody. Oh, are you listening? How many remember Jesus ministered this way? The Bible said He was moved with compassion. Well, what is that? That's the love of God toward an individual. She said, somebody will just stand out to me and my heart will go out. Not just in sympathy and pity. Compassion is not the same now. Compassion is not pity. She said, my heart will go out to him and I won't know any specifics. I'll just know the Lord wants to minister to them. His love is flowing towards them. He wants something to happen for them. Here's the love. Now what do we do? Follow it. Follow it. And all the time we're desiring gifts of the Spirit. So she said, I'll say, you know, sir, could I minister to you? Could I pray for you? Ma'am, could I minister to you? And said, a lot of times I won't have a clue what I'm going to minister to them. But if they say yes, that'd be fine. And they get up and they start towards me. She said, a lot of times when they start towards me, I'll begin to get something. A lot of times when I lay hands on them, I begin to get something. And I know something, or I'm aware of something. And so I minister to him. But would she have gotten the rest of it if she hadn't followed the love? Say it out loud. Follow love. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Follow love. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Is this the most excellent way? Is this the way of God? Who is love? Is the way of love. Well, if I'm following love, who am I following? I'm following the Holy Spirit. If I'm following love, I'm following the way of God. Now, don't think this is limited to services. I remember sometime years ago, this pastor kept coming up on my heart. I'm in my office. I'm about to have a service in a few hours. And this pastor kept coming up on my heart. And when he did, the love of God. Now, you could say it like this. Your heart, your love went towards them. But see, it's God in you. They came up and you thought, man, I love those guys. I love them. I love their ministry. But really, see, that's the love of God. Shed abroad in your heart. Going out towards them, I kept thinking about them. And finally, I just felt like I prayed for them briefly. But then that wasn't enough. I felt like I should call him. So I did. I just picked up the phone, and I didn't know why. I don't have a clue. But do I have to know how? Why? No. I just picked up the phone, and I called him, and he picked up right away. He said, Brother Keith. I said, yeah, man, what are you doing? He said, God. He said, I am in the floor praying about a certain thing, and I'm believing for an answer. Why are you calling? I said, I don't know. He began to tell me about something, and while he's talking, wisdom came up in me. Oh, glory to God. Beyond me, this is by the gifts of the Spirit. A word of wisdom. Oh, hallelujah.
Would we have gotten the word of wisdom if we hadn't followed the love? No, no, no. The most excellent way to live your day, the most excellent way to operate in any given situation. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it complicated. Just follow the love. And while you're doing it, desire the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You got to step out by faith. You won't know when you start out, but as you go, you take a step and you take a step. You'll begin to see. You'll begin to know. Next thing you know, God has solved the problem. Right? And He gets all the glory. Right? Don't you give it to yourself and think, well, yeah, boy, I was so spiritual. I picked that up in the Spirit, and I got that, and I followed that through. Glory to God, I'm spiritual. Yeah, you won't be used much. Huh? Really, when you find yourself at the right place, at the right time, and things just work out perfectly, don't you take credit for that. Did you hear me? People will try to give the credit to you. We were in a situation the other day, and it was just obvious. It worked so perfectly, and it just kept on working so perfectly. It was just obvious God was doing this. And some folk turned around and trying to tell me about, you know, how this is wonderful, and you must have been led. No, no, no. It's good that we are led, but it's so much by the grace of God. You don't know what's going on half the time, if you'll admit it. Right? So when it does come together and it works, you shouldn't be saying, yeah, boy, we got that one right now, didn't we? Woo! That's what I'm talking about, guys. That's being led now. That's what I've been telling you about. You're about to miss it the next five times. Give all the glory to the Lord. Right? And say, in His great love and mercy, He has got us at the right place, at the right time, again. Oh, thank you, Lord. He got us to the right person, got the right word, got the right anointing, got the answer. Right? It was love leading us. And it was us following love. And love manifested. Can you say amen? Say it one more time. Follow love. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Follow love. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Go to Romans 13 in closing. Romans 13. What's the most excellent way of all? The way of love is the way of God. Follow that love every day, and you'll be following Him. Romans 13 talks about the fulfilling of Scripture, the fulfilling of all the law in this one word. You're familiar with it, but let's read it. Romans 10. What did I say? 13. 13 and verse 10. Romans 13 and verse 10 says, love works no ill to his neighbor. Neighbor is your nearby. Whoever you're nearby. That's what it means. Nigh. Neighbor, nigh bore, nigh unto, whoever you're close to at the time is your neighbor. Whoever you're around during that day. And we need to be aware that when we ask the Lord to order our steps and direct our paths, we need to pay attention when we wind up with somebody that day. Right? And we're around them. And love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You have to be aware of your actions and your words on the people around about you to follow this. We live in a world that is so selfish.
Have you noticed? I'm telling you, people will run you off the road and not even know they did. People will push you down and push you out of the way in a line and not even know they did. Why? Because all they are aware of is I've got somewhere to be and I'm doing something, and they act like that there's not even anybody else in the world with anywhere to go or anything else to do. We can't control all them, but we don't have to be like that. I said, we don't have to be like that. We don't have to be like that. Love does no ill, no harm to anybody it's around. We're back to that blessing trail, aren't we? That wake. What's in your wake? Huh? Heartache and trouble? Huh? Aggravated people? Really? I've flying commercial in times past. I've been with preachers that just demanding and pushy. I got to be there. I got to do this. Don't you know who I am? They are not leaving blessing in their trail. They're leaving frustrated and aggravated people. And they're undoing their own favor. Aren't they? I've told this before, but it'll bear repetition. We were in a situation like that. We had a service that night, and they had canceled the flights. And you've seen this kind of situation. I mean, the terminals were jam-packed with people, and everybody's aggravated. And they're taking their frustrations out on the personnel behind the counters. And we're in this long line. And, of course, what we do immediately is we pray about the situation. And now you need to get in faith, don't you? Faith is a rest. And if you're in faith, listen to this, guys. If you're in faith, you put no pressure on people. Faith puts no pressure on people. If you're putting pressure on people, it's because you're looking to them to fix it for you, and you're not looking to God. Say it out loud. Faith.
Puts no pressure
on people. I've had preachers call me and pressure me about doing something or being a part of something or involved in or giving to something. Just pressure. And I don't know what they call it, but I call it flesh and annoying. Huh? Some of them think they're being spiritual. Because they just come in so pushy and people do what they want them to do. And they think it's the favor of God, I guess. I don't know. But it's ugly. And it's not the Lord's way. I said it's not the Lord's way. There was this guy behind this counter, and people were cussing him. I mean, treating him bad. Talking down to him. They're frustrated, they're aggravated, and they're just taking it out on him. That's ugly, isn't it? Well, we had already prayed. We got up to the counter, and Phyllis tells him, I'm standing behind Phyllis, and she says, hello. He says, hi. And Phyllis said, I know you're busy, and I'm sorry that this is this way for you today, and I know this is not your fault. But here's where we're supposed to go, and can you do anything for us? Well, we're not counting on him. We've prayed, right? And the most important thing going on right now, now here's where people lose sight of it. People come in, I've preachers sometimes, pushy, demanding, because I got to go minister. To who? People. What are these? What are these? I'm called to minister to people. Well, that's a person you're almost cussing out right here. People. And so he said, well, I everything's canceled and I just don't know that I can do anything. Well, he said, we understand. It's not your fault. He click, 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 click. Have you seen how much they can type on those things? click, 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 click. He said, click, 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 click. Well, click, 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 click. That's interesting. Click, 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 click. He said, well, where's your bags? We said, right here. Oh, click, 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 click. He said, follow me. We followed him, and he went indoors. It said authorized personnel only. He said, come on, follow me. We went through, and we were behind this and behind that and in this, and we got on this plane. There was the, you know, the APU's running. They're getting ready to take off and put us in first class. And we weren't in first class on the other plane. And he set us down, and he said, I think you'll be there almost to your original time. We said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And he said, those other people over there talking so mean to me, they didn't know it, but I could help them or hurt them. We say, well, we see that. Love's way is God's way, is the way to obtain and retain favor. God's way is the way of wisdom. God's way is where you access, and love's way, you access the anointing and the gifts of the Spirit. I know some years ago I was, my car needed some maintenance, and I brought it to the dealership myself that day, and it was a madhouse, madhouse. It was kind of close to closing time, and there were some guys in there in some nice cars, executive types, and they were just talking to these technicians like they were, I don't know, substandard to them, and just talking down to them and treating them. What do you mean? I told you this, and da-da-da, you know. Well, that atmosphere is full of strife. And I came in, and I waited and waited, and finally one guy looked at me and said, what do you need? And I looked down at his name tag, and I said, well, I said, Mr. So-and-so. And when I said Mr., he looked back up. I don't know that he'd been called that in some time. Are you with me now? But why would I call him Mr.? Love. Love wants to treat somebody with respect, right? And just love, just valuable. I said, Mr. So-and-so, I said, I can see that you are very busy, and I just wanted to see if you could schedule me and get my car in. He said, where's your car? I said, well, it's over. Now, see, we believe for favor, right? We pray for favor. And here some comes. He said, is that your car? I said, yeah. He said, just go get in and pull it to the front right here. I said, in front of all them other cars? He said, yeah, just do what I say. I said, yes, sir. And I got in it, and I drove around. And these guys are looking at me like, what did you do? What? Did you give him some money? What did you do? No, I just treated him like a human being. That's what love does. Not trying to be religious. Not doing anything in front of anybody else to impress anybody. It's just love's way is the right way. It's the good way, and it's the way of favor, and it's God's way of blessing you. He put my car ahead of all of them and just got right on it. You'll find that there are numerous times where Christians, they pray and ask for favor with God and man, and God was already working on the people before you got to them, but then they got there and showed up and acted like a heathen. Did you hear me? And pitched their little fit and made their demanded. And God was dealing with the person to give them favor. But when that started going, they were like, forget you. I'm not going to do anything with you. And they ruined their favor. They themselves messed it up. Somebody say, not me. Not me. I walk in the most excellent way. I walk in love's way. I walk in God's ways. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, please. Musicians, singers, would you come?
Glory to God. Let's praise God for the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That perfect, excellent way. Lord, we worship you. We extol you. We magnify you. We bless you. Let's praise him some this morning. Let's lift up our hearts. And Lord, we praise you for your excellent greatness. Praise you for the most excellent way of love. Praise you for teaching us your ways. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Can you see that trail of blessing behind you? Can you see everywhere you go? You leave the aroma of God's love, the savor of God's good presence everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you leave people with a good taste in their mouth. You leave them with the good smell of God's presence. You leave a wake of blessing, a wake of goodness. Awake. Come on, everybody do this behind you. You're leaving awake of goodness. Awake of blessings. Awake of the savor of the presence of the sweet smell of the love of God. I leave a trail of blessings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Well, give God thanks today for this. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Lift your hands and give the Lord thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing during these meetings. We just so appreciate Keith and Phyllis Moore for what they have imparted to us. During this time, we look forward to them coming back again. Give them a wonderful hand, please. Keith and Phyllis, thank you. Come on, let them know how much you love them today. Praise God. Tonight, at 7:15, Billy Brim will be with us. Are y'all ready for Billy Brim? Praise God. We'll see you this evening. You are dismissed.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, log on to emic.org.